First thing we realize that resurrection is part of the gospel. It is an essential part of Christianity. And that is really the difference between Christianity and every, for the lack of better word, system of belief in the world, is resurrection. And the clarity that scripture declared to us, what is that all about? So it is part of the gospel. It is part of salvation, not only that our soul and spirit are saved, but also that body of ours will be redeemed.
So, brother, there's two essential aspects of the gospel.
Louder, please.
There's two essential aspects of the gospel, and they're both here. The death of the Lord Jesus and the resurrection. Without it, you don't have the gospel. And I think this is what Satan has been so craftily doing. In Islam, you know, he takes away those two ingredients completely. So you don't have anything. There's nothing. Christianity is just hollow and empty then. So without those two, there's nothing. And so we have to realize this. This is vital.
And it's sad that even those who would confess the death of Christ might not, because in Corinthians they had no problem with the death. The problem, the teachings, the wrong teaching was in regard to the matter of resurrection.
But would we not have to put the matter of burial in there as well? Because I think that's the essential entity that will then lead to resurrection. So there is the matter of death. He must be buried because the whole matter of the first order of man must be completely put out of sight in the burial aspect of things, and then you have the glorious resurrection.
We could see in these first two or three verses that there's this point about without this, you believed in vain. Just to emphasize what we're saying, that this is such an essential characteristic that they must understand the fact of the resurrection. It is the gospel in verse 1 which saves them in verse 2. And therefore, that word of the gospel has to be held fast. That's, you might say, their responsibility to hold fast what is taught to them. These first, you might say, 11 verses are to establish that the Lord Jesus is raised. If you just would scan down to verse 11. It says, no matter who was preaching, so we preach. The so doesn't mean therefore, it means this is what we preached. This, in verses 3 and 4, this confession, this statement of truth, this is what we have preached, and this is what you have believed. And it'll come out later. The main problem that was troubling the Corinthians was that some were saying that the believers were not going to be raised. That there was no resurrection for believers. There's no resurrection from the dead in verse 12. But the whole passage that we're considering first, it's very nice to see this pattern. When we try to understand the importance of a truth of the scriptures, we look at how it affects the Lord Jesus. And that's what this passage does. This passage says, if someone is attacking the truth of resurrection for believers, what would that do to the teaching of the gospel? What would that do to the foundational tenets of the Christian faith? We must establish that Christ has been raised. And you have already believed this, he says in verse 11. So he's reviewing here the essential characteristic that Christ has been raised, so that they recognize that wrong teaching would affect the Lord Jesus. And we must start with how the truth establishes us in the knowledge of what the Lord Jesus has done, of who he is, and then we will be on the right footing when we understand how the truths of the scriptures apply to us.
So let's do that. Let's focus, as we have heard, on the fact that Christ died according to the scripture. I want us to kind of spend some time on there. I want us to spend some time and that he was buried. I want us to spend some time on he is also risen according to the scripture. And as we establish that fact, we will move on into the next section and we see why the apostle started with that first, and then, as we have heard already, the following verses will tell us the negative result if that's not true. So couldn't we get some help and that he died for our sins according to the scripture?
The world does not have to be convinced that death is in the scene. As mentioned in the beginning, it's the king of terrors. And various ways man seeks to avoid it. But the death of Christ is different than every other death. And this is the wonderful thing, that it was for our sins. We die because of sin. By sin came death. He died in order to put away sin. How blessed to know this. And we all know that we are sinners. The Spirit of God convinces us of that. Our natural conscience convicts us of that. What do we do with our sins? Well, here's one that came. He came for that very reason. Came into the scene and died for our sins. He had none of his own, so he could die for ours. Bear the punishment, the judgment that was our due. And how blessed to know that by this we have been delivered, set free, and it's according to this. We have the foundation in God's word. God has spoken. Man has many ideas and tries to convince us of things. But here we are faced with a wonderful fact that God has spoken. And when God has spoken, it is ours to bow and obey and accept it from him. The scriptures, John 10:34, I believe, scriptures cannot be broken. They cannot be broken. Sure foundation upon which we can rest. Christ died for our sins. Are you thankful that he did?
Amen.
That's what we have in Christ in his work.
So the scriptures that are referred to here are the Old Testament scriptures. When it says that Christ died according to the scriptures, Paul is referring to the Old Testament. The death of Christ is a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies relating to the Messiah. We don't have to turn too far into the Old Testament to see this in type with Abraham and Isaac. We see it in Psalm 22, Psalm 69, Isaiah 53, Zechariah 12. They shall look upon him whom they pierced. These are all in reference. There's many others. I'm just referring to a few. These are the Old Testament scriptures that pointed out the coming one would die. It is a fulfillment of these scriptures, what Christ went through. It is not something that took God by surprise. It was all foretold. Jonah, the prophet Jonah, provides us a clear picture of all three. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So you have many passages and many types as well.
Just to mention one that you didn't mention, Bill, in Genesis 3:15, the very first prophecy that's given to us in Scripture would remind us of the very fact that the Lord Jesus is that seed. He will bruise your head. He says, I will put your seed and her seed, enmity between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his feet. And so right from the very beginning of Scripture, and I think this is the point here, isn't it? That right from the very beginning of Scripture, the authority of God's Word is set out for us. And it's that authority that the resurrection is based on.
I would like to... Go ahead, Brother Lee.